It's taken from Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, and then reading from verses 19 to 25. All right, have you got a Hebrews 10, beginning from verse 19? You follow me silently, I read to you. Having therefore, brethren, boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Now this passage originally was written to Jews, the Jewish readers, who are believers. And you find that there are two very vital truths there. In the verse for the first part here, from 19 to 22, there's the salvation. There's a new and living way that God has prepared. We shall look into this one. And then after that, you have the other part. The second vital or important truth is from verses 22 to 25. There you have the results of this truth that you have, which was mentioned earlier in verses 19 to 21. Now you can see that it is for the Jewish readers, because the first mention with regard to the high priest and about the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, and then now you have a new and living way, and then there's a word that says that in verse 20, the word of regarding the veil, and so this is regard to the Old Testament. Now you see on the board there, and you see there you have a very rough sketch of the temple in those times. The temple. All right. I have to come here. So this is the temple. It is the holiest. You see, I mentioned here about the holiest. It's actually the holy of holies. The place where the God's presence in the Old Testament is. And then there is a temple. Then there is this veil, curtain here. And no one can enter. Then the curtain, and you have this incense, this altar of incense, the shewbread, and the candlestick, and another curtain here. And then this is the laver, which is a very big basin where they wash. And only once a year, the high priest can enter into this Holy of Holies. And he can only enter when he has to sacrifice a lamb. After the sacrifice of the lamb, the sprinkling of blood, then he enters. If he enters without doing that, without this offering of that sin sacrifice, the moment he enters, he will drop dead. And only the priest can enter here to minister unto the Lord. Once a year, the high priest. So we have here mentioned in verse 10 regarding the high priest. Now every year, he said, once a year, the high priest goes there. And there must be the sacrifice of bulls, of cows, of cattle and sheep. He has to do that. Now here you will find that in verse 19-21, that God has by a new and living way. What was the new and living way? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And by his death on the cross, the shed blood, he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And by his shed blood. And that sacrifice is for everyone. So that all who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, even all the Jews at that time, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who find a need, they are convicted of the fact that they have sinned. If you have sinned, we all are sinners. And we cannot come before God. We can't enter into the presence of God unless there is the shedding of blood. And the blood that has been shed, that's the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, His blood shed on the cross. Through Him, everyone, not just one high priest, everyone can enter into the presence of God. So when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, and when He says, finished, this curtain in the temple 2,000 years ago was torn apart. It was opened. Now, He is the high priest. He can go in. And all who believe in Him are made priests. And we can enter into the presence of God. According to the word of God here, the writer, the divine writer of the book of Hebrews says, by a new and living way. The old way is sacrifice, go in once a year, all the time like this. The new and living way. Anytime, you and I. That's why just now when we are praying, we enter, we cry, Abba, Father, our Father in heaven. Each time you all do, you pray at home because you have been made priests. If you are a Christian, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the new and living way. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to look for the temple. You don't have to look for any place. And then sacrifice a lamb and then walk in and go in. No more that way. It's all done for by the Lord Jesus Christ. The new and living way is that you can enter into the presence of God because you are a Christian. And the blood of Christ has already cleansed you from all your sins. That is the new and living way. And you can call Him Abba, Father. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Otherwise what? Otherwise you and I have to go to Jerusalem. You know? And then you bring our lamb. Or our sheep, according to God's word, and make sacrifices. You've got to put your hands on the, and then sacrifice the lamb. Now this is the new and living way. All right, so it's wonderful. So you have this first part here, this, and all of us who are Christians, we have this way. We can go into the presence of God. It's wonderful. You must see that this is really wonderful. To go into the presence of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Lord God Almighty. All right, so you, many of us here who are Christians, we have. If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have this, but you can have this thing because Christ came to die for you too. Because God loves you, the one and true living God. He loves you, and He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. And the reason sometimes you are here, you hear the word of God, is not by chance, you know. It is by appointment, God's appointment. That today you hear His voice, so you read His words here, what He has revealed to you, you should accept it. Open your heart. God, is it true? Yes, your word has said. I believe, I want to believe. I'm a sinner, because if you have no Christ in your heart, the blood of Christ does not, you have no Christ, His blood cannot have any effect on you, because you have not believed in Him. Then you are under the wrath of God, the anger of God. And the only way to get out of that wrath of God is to believe in the Lord Jesus. God loves you, He wants you, He has provided you the way, no other way. There's no other way. Before I became a Christian, I was told God reveals His will through me, His word to me, through a preacher. This is the way. And then when I was asked, and there's an altar call, anyone here want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Put up your hand. And I raised up my hand. I have never regretted. I have never regretted. And God, my Father, the Almighty God, is my Father in heaven. And he loves me, cares for me. It's wonderful. All right? I think many of us here have this experience. Now, this is the first vital, important truth. Now, the second, also very vital, important truth, and it is always interlinked and related. If we have the first experience, we are explaining the first thing, then it must result in the second part here, the second big truth here. Now, you'll find that there are three things mentioned here. The word, let us, in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, with sincerity, honesty, without hypocrisy, in full assurance of faith, having believed confidently, let us draw near to whom? Indeed, this is draw near to God in worship and in service. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to worship him. And the highest form, of course, of worship is to serve him. That means service is a form of worship of God. Not just singing of hymns and praying, kneeling down and reading. Not just that. Not just that. We have to do that and then we serve him. That is the highest form of worship. God's word says so. So let us draw near. Now the word let us means it's a continuous tense. It means continuing, always. Let us draw near. Let us all the time draw near to God. So whether you serve, we do. How you serve the Lord doesn't matter. As long as you, whatever you do here, you are doing for the Lord. It is because of the Lord, for the sake of the Lord. You do it because I love God. God, I love you. I do this because I love you. God loves it. You are worshiping him. Not because you do this, because he's an elder, he asked me to do. Okay, this time I do, next time I won't do. It's not like that. You do it because you love God. Okay? Draw near to God in worship. And so make sure that we always have that. Now the second one is verse 20. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now here, let us hold fast. That means keep it. Don't lose it. Firmly hold it. The profession of our faith or hope. Faith or hope. The profession of our hope. Faith, there is hope. Without wavering. Be steadfast. You know what is the hope? What is the hope? The hope of the Christian. What is the hope of the Christian? All right, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Okay, what is my hope? First of all, I know my hope is the hope of salvation. I believe everything. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins and God has promised me the gift of eternal life. So I'm looking for eternal life. And Paul did say that. But the hope that the Bible is always talk about is about the blessed one. Hope. The hope of what? Of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be. As Paul says always, we should look forward and earnestly look forward for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even God says that if you are earnestly looking forward for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a reward for you. Which means that, what does it imply? To me, it implies that, suggests that we don't want, we get so easily forgetful of the hope that we are, God has given us. We should have earnestly look for hope. Hold fast. Always, constantly, frequently remind ourselves that hope that we have. And you know what in verse, that last part of verse 23? Here again, for he is faithful that promise. Who is he here? For God is faithful. For the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful in his promises. So in all the promises of God concerning our salvation and even concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take us to be with him and all the other promises here in the book, God reveals, I am what? faithful to my promise. God will keep it. God will fulfill it. Every one of them. To the letter. That was the basis for which we should what? Not waver. Hold fast the profession of our faith, of our hope. Because God is true. God does not lie. He promised he will fulfill. The third thing. So you have, first of all, you have drawn near unto me. There is an upward attitude between I and God. And then here you say, let us hold fast the profession of faith. And we said, looking forward, not wavering. This is a forward attitude. Pressing on. And that because of that hope we have, we press on. Because of that hope, we will do this, do that. All for the glory of God. We are passing through. We are looking for that hope. Press forward to the high calling of Christ. There's a forward attitude. The last one is what? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The word consider means focus, concentrate on. This one very important thing. One important thing. What is that? To consider one another means fellow Christians. Look at you now, all Christians. I look at you all. Consider one purpose I should consider. To provoke you. Well, the word provoke is a very strong word, isn't it? You always use that word in a negative sense. Don't provoke me. But that's precisely what I mean. Provoke you. But it's not provoke in a good sense. Someone put it this way. Holy nagging. Provoke you. Holy nagging. Don't nag at me. Don't provoke me. Yeah, I want to do it. Only for good. This is the positive side. Provoke you unto what? Love. In other words, nag you to love. Nag you to do good works. And how do you do it? The verse, next verse, what does he say there? The best way to provoke one another to love and good is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There is coming together in a church, in the church context. You see, there's no Robinson Crusoe Christian in this world. You read from Genesis to Revelation. No Robinson Crusoe. Some Christians, they want to be Robinson Crusoe because they go to a church, they find the church is so imperfect. Yes, every church is not perfect. Precisely. And that's why we have to come together. And that's why you have to provoke one another to love and good works. The perfect church only will happen when we are all in heaven. And God calls us all to come. You see, when we provoke one another to love and good works, the church will become perfect. Will become perfect. That's it. So wonderful. So let us always remember, don't forsake. Every time we have an opportunity to come together, like this camp, we apply for leave. Provoke your boss to, so that he gives you the leave. You believe in that, you go to your knees. Lord, I want to go have this leave in order to come to this church. I will provoke my boss. As you have said, Lord, I'll do it. You think the Lord will not help you? I believe with all my heart he will help you. If you sincerely say it, he will. You're afraid that you'll lose your job for that? You're afraid that your boss will think, what kind of person, what kind of employee in this want to get his leave and all that? You don't have to worry about it. You leave that to God. God can turn his heart, change his heart. I know, even my daughter one time applied for a job and said, you must work on Sunday, you know. Really, I cannot. If you impose on me that on Sunday I have to work, sorry, I cannot accept that term. All right. Ends the interview, we'll let you know. 2 weeks later, she has a letter. Come and work. With her terms. Sunday, no work. You leave it to the Lord. You and I must, of course, this is your faith, your relationship with God. And I'm telling you what I have seen and what I have experienced myself, and that gives to God the glory because He is the one and He has shown. And I believe that if He has dealt that with His children in the past, in the present, and with you, He will also do the same with you. God is a just God, as Abraham found out. God is a just God. And so, whenever we have a chance to meet together, on Sunday, camp, outing, anytime, even on, you got home care group meeting, even among yourselves, sometimes you call each other to your homes. This is gathering, assembling, not forsaking. Come together. And when you come together, you provoke one another to love and good works. How wonderful. As I was thinking of this, I was thinking of Naomi. I was thinking of Ruth. And I was thinking of Boaz. Can you see that Ruth, these three of them, also in this picture, they illustrate this? Naomi illustrates what? In spite of all the bitterness, she never what? Give up. She stayed close to the Lord. Never. Although she realized that God has been, she felt bitter that God has treated him that way. But she had never said, God, go away. I don't want to believe in you. She never did that. Because the next chapter we find that, oh, God has not forgotten me. She stayed close. She kept on hoping in God. You look at Ruth. What did Ruth say to the mother-in-law? Your God, my God, where you go, I will go. Where you die, there I will be die. Where you buried, I will be buried. Embrace the God of Naomi. Firm. She never wavered from it. She never wavered. She was obedient. And then you look at Boaz. Here you have an example of a man who is so generous. Really provoke one another to love and good works. Really. So wonderful. So you and I can. This is very important. This is the last part here. Let us draw near to God. Provoke one another. Not wavering. Our hope, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life here is just passing through. Christ will come, and He will come, and He will come soon. Be a diligent, good Bible student and see what God has revealed to you, how soon He will come. He is coming. He definitely will come. And so give everything that you have for Him. And when you give everything, you will have more things. He will give you. He will give you more things to give Him, to glorify Him. You know that? This is our God. So wonderful. Until you cannot take it. Until you say, Lord, stop, stop, stop. No, He won't. He will keep on until. And then the last one. To come together so that when people see us, when they come into the church, on every Sunday, they come to 10 Downing Street, 9:30 or 9:15 or 8:30. There are already people there welcoming. Don't come. You so suddenly they want to come to your church. They look at the yellow page. Okay, Bethel Bible Presbyterian. I think this is a good church. I'll go. Their service 9:30. So it comes at 8:45. Nobody. At one time, I came out. I came from the church. I came down. 8:45. She was earlier than me. 8:35. A Caucasian lady. And she didn't go. She walked around. And when I opened the door, she came. And I wished her. I said, I thought you have a church service tonight this morning? I say, yes, 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 at 9:30. Oh, I came too early. I say, I'm very sorry. The door should have been open. So I hope. You see, we can make that impact. You don't have to run away and tell people about Jesus Christ, okay, that which we should be witnessing. But we can do another way, this way. When we really come punctually, early, we start. At least half an hour. We all can do half an hour earlier. Half an hour at 9 o'clock, just before, 5 minutes before 9. So many of us, let's say, majority of us already in church, all busy, waiting. And then here comes someone, and then they see smiles. You see, wow, that is enough. And when he sees how we love one another, where we really provoke one another to love and good works, that is enough to impact that person. Not that you cannot. You can't? You can. Who says you can't? God says you can. He will give you the grace. The problem is not willing. He's willing. How much you have? How many utensils? How many baskets? Or how many pails you have? How many bottles you have? You just put there. The oil will keep on pouring until you have no. Once you don't have anymore, container to receive it, it stops. That's our God. That's our God, your God, my God, our God. Take in his word, you see. You can, all of us can. And through this way, they will really come to love the Lord. So these two truths. Now these two truths, they are vital. They are interlinked, inseparable, you know. The first truth, we regard the new and living way. We are already become a child of God. We have this new and living way in which we relate with him, can go and worship him. And it must result in this three things. Let us draw near. This upward attitude, this forward attitude, and this outward attitude towards another. It must result in that. It cannot be you have this first experience without the second experience. You cannot, it's impossible. It must flow out to the second one. It must. And let's make the second one, the impact, the expression, the practical expression of that one, make it greater, more intensified, better. And God will be glorified. If you have one, the first part, you don't have at all the second part. The first part is question mark. Suspect. You have only the second part without the first part. The second part is not true. Dangerous. You must have these two. May God bless us all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that we will remember this word that you have given to us. This wonderful truth concerning you, concerning ourselves, what you have done in our lives. We thank you, Father. Indeed, Lord, we know you will give us enough grace, enough strength, enough everything, Lord, to do all these things for your glory, for your honor. Lord, teach us to submit to you, to open the hearts, the doors of our heart and mind, to be filled with your word, with your spirit, in every aspect of our life, for you, to be used by you, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, and for your children, our fellow Christians. To the praise and glory of your name. This we pray, we ask, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now, better pass.